Today on Introductions, our guest is 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler-Geyer, a senior at Stevenson High School and concertmaster of the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra, and a winner of the DePaul Concerto Festival for Young Performers, the Music Festival in honor of Confucius, and many other competitions. She's prepared for us part of Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto, a Bach Partita, and Maurice Ravel's exciting Tzigane, which is all coming up after this short break. Welcome to Introductions. I'm David Polk. This hour, we're in WFMT's Levin Performance Studio, and our guest is 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler-Geyer, a senior at Stevenson High School, who is also concertmaster of the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra. She studies violin with Roland and Almeida Vamos at the Music Institute of Chicago, and in addition to winning both the DePaul Concerto Festival for Young Performers and the Music Festival in honor of Confucius, she's received honorable mentions in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra Youth Auditions, the Walgreens National Concerto Competition, and many more honors. Later this hour, she'll perform for us some music by Maurice Ravel, J.S. Bach, and Samuel Barber, but right now she has for us some music by Beethoven. Here's the first movement of his Spring Sonata for Violin and Piano, number 5, opus 24. Milana Pavchinskaya will be joining her on piano this hour. This is Introductions. Thank you. 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler-Geyer with pianist Milana Pavchinskaya in the first movement of Beethoven's Spring Sonata for Violin and Piano number 5, Opus 24. Thank you so much, Jory, for that performance, and welcome to WFMT. Did you pick that on purpose for this cold winter day?
No, David, I did not pick that on purpose, but I mean, it seems pretty joyful. I mean, this piece is obviously titled Spring. It's meant to represent joy, and the first movement's pretty exuberant. I actually picked this piece because I did a competition where they required a first movement of a Beethoven sonata, and some colleges that I'm auditioning for do require a movement of a Beethoven sonata, so I was like, well, I'll pick this one because it's just so joyful and happy, and I didn't know that it was very hard to do, so it's been a long journey with this sonata.
Well, we are very glad that you chose this particular sonata. What was so hard about it?
With Beethoven, obviously, he's kind of the crossover between the classical period and the romantic period in classical music. So some moments you have to be really, really calm and have your intonation exactly perfect. But then there are other moments where you kind of have to be like ferocious and not very angry, but very intense in what you want to come across, and also a little bit humorous, because Beethoven, if you listen to this piece again, Beethoven was kind of a jokester in the repetition of his rhythms and the sudden change from forte to piano and his dynamics.
So there's a lot of contrast to think about just in that one movement.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when you were first given a piece by Beethoven by your teacher? I imagine that must be a huge deal when your teacher thinks that you're ready for Beethoven as a young violinist.
Beethoven sonatas are something that everybody has to play. So when I started working on this summer at Aspen Music Festival with Paul Cantor, and he was like, okay, I think it's time for you to try a Beethoven sonata. And I got a little freaked out. I started sweating. I was like, oh no, I don't think I'm ready. But It's been really fun, and I really have enjoyed learning this.
Sure. It must feel like you've arrived when that when that sheet music arrives on your stand. Well, next you have for us some music that is not performed quite as often as the Beethoven by Samuel Barber, his part of his violin concerto in G major. Why did you choose this piece, and how did you first come across it?
I first heard this piece when I was about 12 or 11. I heard it out at the Grand Teton Music Festival, where my parents perform every summer. And I heard this with James Ennis playing the violin solo, and I was like completely blown away. I was like, this concerto is so cool. Why have I never heard this before? And when I got home, I talked to my former teacher, Desiree Rustrat, and I was like, I really want to play Barber. So she let me, and people have told me that this piece accurately represents my personality. I take that as a compliment because it's an awesome concerto and I really love playing it. A lot of people think it's one of the easier concertos because the first movement is not very long, but there are some parts where it gets insanely hard. And even though I've been playing it for a while, I really have to revisit it a lot to get it into tip-top shape.
Was your former teacher, Desiree, was she surprised that you were asking for the Barber Violin Concerto?
Yeah, because most kids are like, I want to play Tchaikovsky. I want to play Sibelius. Uh-huh. And I was like, nope, I want to play Barber.
Not that there's anything wrong with those pieces.
Nope, not at all. But I was a little odd. I wanted to play something that no one had really ever tried before.
Uh-huh. So you mentioned that this concerto has a lot of cool parts of it. What's the coolest thing about it?
The coolest thing about it is that the rhythms are not technically difficult, but it's so emotionally cool. And if it's played right, you can't help but feel like connected to it. The ending is also very interesting because it's very cadenza-ish, if only for about 5 measures or so.
Well, let's hear now the first movement. It's marked Allegro of Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto in G major, Opus 14. Again, we'll hear 17-year-old violinist Joy Butler-Geyer with pianist Milana Pavchinskaya. This is Introductions coming from WFMT's Levin Performance Studio.
Thank you.
some music by Samuel Barber. We heard the first movement of his violin concerto in G major, opus 14. It was marked Allegro, performed by 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler-Geyer with pianist Milana Pavchinskaya here on Introductions. Thanks for that performance, Jory. You really do a great job of conveying in your performing of that piece how much you really love it.
I do.
And it's perhaps a composer that is not played often enough. And so
it's not.
Thanks for bringing it back to our attention.
Anytime.
You can listen to this edition of Introductions again on our website, wfmt.com/introductions, which is also where you can audition to perform on this program. We welcome your YouTube auditions, or you can upload a music file. We're currently accepting auditions from bands, orchestras, choirs, soloists, and chamber groups for the upcoming spring semester. If you're at all interested in performing, please send your audition in by the end of December. And we also welcome your comments. Visit our Facebook page or click on the chime in box on WFMT.com. We're going to take a short break now. When we return, we'll hear Jory in some music by J.S. Bach and Maurice Ravel. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Introductions. I'm David Polk. If you're just joining us, our guest this hour in WFMT's Levin Performance Studio is 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler-Geyer, a senior at Stevenson High School and concertmaster of the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra in Highwood, and a student at the Music Institute of Chicago, where she studies with both Roland and Almida Vamos. She's very accomplished as a soloist and has performed with the Kankakee Symphony Orchestra and also as part of the DePaul Concerto Festival for Young Performers. But she's also very interested in chamber music. Last school year, her group Trio Bravo performed on this program, and they were semifinalists in the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition. And they also took second place in the Jules M. Laser Competition at Music in the Loft and performed in Millennium Park, Symphony Center, the Art Institute of Chicago, and more. So, Jory, what do you get out of chamber music that maybe you don't get out of solo playing or orchestral playing?
Well, you get kind of a sense that, well, obviously you have other people playing with you, but you've got people who've got your back. It's really scary when you play as a soloist because you have a piano or there's just you and you can't rely on anyone to help you when you get lost or if you play a note out of tune. And chamber music, it's really helpful because if you're like a really consummate chamber musician, you know the score, you know when someone's going to go in, going to play, and you know like whether you're going to play with someone, play off the beat, come in after like two measures or something. And it's just really good. It's really fun knowing that you have someone else to help you if you ever get lost. Mm-hmm.
And not only is the music so interesting and it offers you a lot more opportunities to play in various places, as we just heard. Obviously, for practical reasons, you can fit. But also, it's just a great group working experience, which is valuable for everything in life.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about practicing. I know that I don't want people listening to the show to ever think that anybody comes on to the program and they just woke up in the morning and automatically knew how to play this music. How much time would you say that you devote to practicing?
Well, this year I get out of school two periods early for the specific reason that I can practice. So I'd say on a good day I get about 4 hours in every day.
Uh-huh. Give us an overview of what a typical practice session is like for you.
Well, I have to warm up for a really long time, probably an hour, hour and a half.
Why do you warm up so long?
I have a lot of different fundamentals that I do, and my teachers have recommended a lot of different etude books for me, so I work on little specific sets of technique that are not necessarily in a concerto or a sonata, so that I can build up my technique and therefore build up my repertoire too.
Mm-hmm. And then you dig into whatever you're working on?
Yep, whether it be like seating auditions for orchestra or solo pieces or any other things that I have going on, sonatas or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And how has practicing for your college auditions been so far this year?
Well, since there's like a looming deadline with all my CDs, all my recordings have to be in, and then I have some dates where I have to audition for colleges already, it's made me be a lot smarter with my practicing because I know I don't have a lot of time left.
Uh-huh. I want to also mention that you come from a very musical family.
Yeah.
Both of your parents are music professors at Northwestern in trumpet. What kind of advice do they give you on performing or on music in general?
Well, my mom always says that, like, if you're talented, that's great, but it's really about how much work you put in on your instrument. And you can't, it's not about how many hours you practice, it's about what kind of intelligent practice that you do. And it's all about repetition, per se, but intelligent repetition. You have to do things right a billion times in a row to outdo any wrongs that you ever, that you've ever done.
Or you'll train yourself incorrectly.
Yes.
And what it's like, what has it been like growing up with parents who know exactly what practice is supposed to sound like and what, how long you're supposed to practice, and they know all the nitty gritty details. How is, what was that like?
I'm sure I'm going to appreciate it when I'm in college, but, but right now it's really good when one of my parents comes up from their little basement where they practice and tells me, like, you're doing this wrong, or I think you need to do this a couple more times. It's all for my own benefit, but sometimes it's a little aggravating.
Well, we can definitely hear the benefits of all of this practice and your playing this hour. And I'm looking forward to your next piece by Bach. You're talking about how hard it is to play by yourself, and this is really by yourself.
Yeah.
What do you have for us next?
I have the Partita in G minor, just two movements of it, the first and last movement. The first movement is the Adagio, and the last movement is the Presto.
And I've heard over and over again from musicians that playing solo Bach is one of the hardest things they ever do. Why is that?
Well, there's not even a piano to help you out anymore when you're playing solo Bach. And it's just like, Bach was one of the most amazing composers. Like, he wrote everything perfectly. And, well, if you're just by yourself, everyone can tell when you mess up. And it's so hard to get, like, the right feeling. And the way that he writes music is not the way you would write music today or even 100 years ago. So it's very hard to read. And, like, countless musicians have their recordings of Bach, and they swear by it. It's the right thing. But there's so many different versions of this that you don't really know what to do unless you have a really good teacher helping you out.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your interpretation of it now. Here's 17-year-old violinist Joy Butler-Geyer now in two movements from J.S. Bach's Partita in G minor. We'll hear the Adagio and then the Presto. This is Introductions.
Thank you.
two movements from J.S. Bach's Partita in G minor. We just heard the Presto, and that was preceded by the Adagio movement performed by 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler Geyer. Jory is a senior at Stevenson High School and also concertmaster of the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra. Thanks, Jory. That was you must feel such a sense of accomplishment after that, especially since we were talking about how hard it is to play solo Bach before that.
Oh, yeah, and my hand is like, it hurts.
But how nice it must be to just pick up your violin and play a beautiful piece without having to worry about having a pianist or orchestra.
In some ways, it is a little less stressful.
And I imagine that playing those pieces made the rest of your playing a lot better.
Oh, yeah, it always does.
How long did it take to master?
I was working on the first movement, the Adagio, kind of not very seriously for like a year. But this summer, I knew that for college auditions, I needed to have at least two movements of a Bach Partita down. So I really started seriously working on it this summer. So about 3-4 months for both movements.
And these are things that you can revisit over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout your whole life. Do you think you'll come back to it?
Yeah, I plan on learning all of these sonatas and partitas in my little Blue Book of Bach.
Wonderful. Well, what a good goal. I want to leave enough time to talk about your final piece by Maurice Ravel, his Cigane, which is so much fun to listen to. And also, Ravel throws so many crazy techniques in your way.
Yeah.
Can you maybe describe just a couple of them?
Oh, okay. So basically, the first two pages of Cigane are like a marathon for the violin. Every technique that you need to know is pretty much there. Like left hand pizzicatos, which is extremely hard for me particularly, because when I started learning this piece, I didn't have a very strong left hand, so I had to work very slowly on it every day. There's a lot of harmonics, which I already knew how to do, but I had to make my technique even better. There's also, the first page is actually entirely on the G string, and you have to be able to play in tune on like the stratosphere of your violin, and it's very hard. You have to have a lot of endurance to just get through the first page.
So you literally have to develop the muscles in your left hand in order to perform this piece.
Yes, it is not for the faint of heart.
And then when there is something that is really technically challenging, sometimes it becomes a challenge just to put the whole thing together, because I imagine, obviously, you have to practice these in segments in order to get good at the technique. So how do you start doing that? Do you just play it all at once over and over again? Or
the good thing about Cigane is that it's a piece about gypsy melodies, and so it's very easy for you to tell where like one melody begins and one ends. So you break it up into phrases, and then you practice those phrases and practice and practice and practice, and then when you think they're finally good enough, then you sew them all together.
Uh-huh. And it's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Oh, yes it is.
So we're very excited to hear this now by Maurice Ravel, his Cigane, performed by 17-year-old violinist Jory Butler Geyer and pianist Milana Pavchinskaya, will join us again. This is Introductions from WFMT's Levin Performance Studio.
Thank you.
17-year-old violinist Jory Butler Geyer in Maurice Ravel's Cigan, performed with pianist Milana Pavchinskaya. Thank you so much for that fantastic performance of that Cigan, Jory, and also for preparing this whole program for us.
Thank you.
What a huge accomplishment to play all of this very contrasting music and some music that some of us probably haven't heard too often before, The Barber, and what a great variety of things to hear this hour. Since you're thinking a lot about your future right now, applying for all kinds of different music schools and conservatories, can you tell us what your dream violin gig is to have one day?
My dream violin gig, oh my goodness. Well, I know it's really, really hard to be a soloist, but I'd like to do that. But also, if that doesn't work out, I'd really, really like to be in an awesome chamber group like quartet, piano trio, what have you. I just think chamber music is really awesome, and I'd love to have a career doing that.
Well, I think you're well on your way to doing that. And up until this point, I know that you've been the recipient of a lot of advice from your teachers and your friends and your parents and your family members. What's some advice before we leave you today that you would give to someone just starting out on the violin?
I would tell them that even though it's really, really hard, that they should practice every day. I teach a little bit, and that's what I tell my students, that even if it's only for a little bit, they have to practice every day. And that when you perform for other people, it should be a gift for the audience. But simultaneously, it should also be, you shouldn't be unsure of anything you're doing in the music. This is like when I played Cigan, I was thinking in my head, like, this is how you play Cigan. I'm going to show you how I play Cigan, and I believe that you are going to enjoy the way I play Cigan. Like, you have to be sure of everything.
Well, thank you, Jory. Jory is a senior at Stevenson High School and also concertmaster of the Midwest Young Artists Symphony Orchestra. And you can listen to her performance again, find the complete program, and upload an audition to perform on this program by visiting wfmt.com/introductions. And we welcome your comments about the series. Post them to our Facebook wall or click on the chime in box on wfmt.com. Introductions is an original production of 98.7 WFMT. The executive producer is Steve Robinson. Our engineer today was Peter Serban, and our theme music was performed by Trio Vida. I'm David Polk, the host and producer of Introductions. Please join us again next week here on WFMT.